This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
What is it like creating a space for LGBTIQ members of the community in regional spaces that may have just one or sometimes no queer venues? In recent years, there's been an outcry that we're losing our culture or identity when LGBTIQ venues that have been around for decades have closed in Sydney or Melbourne. It seems pretty patronising for members of the community who don't live in the big cities and don't have the comfort of all these options for members of their community. I spoke to Nick and Cam, who came to Melbourne for a weekend from Newcastle, about how our community need to support more regional activities. It's not only necessary, but an important way to maintain our queer culture.
Well, we live in a town that is the second largest city in New South Wales. We have one gay bar.
Is it an all-the-time gay bar?
No, it shares its space with a restaurant and also a music venue. So some nights when it is supposed to be a gay night, you'll have drag queens mixing with death metal bands.
Actually, I would love to go there.
You'd think it would be good, except the clients who come are actually... The clientele is really rough.
So what's it like being
pretty
in a space like... Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what's it like being in a space like that when you only have one kind of thing that kind of happens and you need to keep your queer life alive?
Well, in terms of queer culture, we don't have any. We used to have a festival, we used to have a picnic, we used to have events all around Newcastle, and it doesn't happen anymore. We have one bar that doesn't do any events, and that's it. It's basically a case of appreciate what you have, because one of the reasons why they're closing is not having business. So if you're not turning up, you're not going to have it for any longer.
And if you become constantly if you're complaining about it all the time, you're going to lose it, and then you'll realise once it's gone, it's going to be twice as hard to try and get any of it back.
And sorry about the lockout laws, we invented them.
So,
it worked.
Okay, so you don't really have the queer culture that you've got. So how do you celebrate your queer culture?
A lot of venues are way more accepting of it.
But is that really queer culture?
No.
It's more just venues being less...
It's bigoted. More a reflection of like society not actually wanting to cut people out.
But isn't that a good thing?
It is a good thing.
It is a good thing, but what it is Newcastle has
it's
a case of assimilation as opposed to celebration. We just fit in with the straight crowds and sort of don't stand out as much, so we don't have a culture per se. We have one bar that is sort of sometimes a gay bar.
Well, when other venues are starting to be much more diverse in who they're trying to peg to, it does make it better, but it's usually the younger crowds that are willing to accept it. You're still going to have people who go to those pubs and clubs who have been for like 10 years who are still going to pretty much cut you out. And if you're a guy ogling another guy, they're pretty much going to...
So do you feel like we don't appreciate our spaces that we have and what we have?
Take them for granted a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
I think here is a little bit different. I feel like in Melbourne there is a lot more celebration. Sydney, I think, definitely takes it for granted. They've had this big, powerful strip for so long, and it's slowly sort of getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
It's condensing.
And now, now they're realising that perhaps they need to actually consider putting the effort into their community.
Well, Melbourne also has a pretty rich, diverse, like, range of gay venues.
The gay stuff is spread
out. Like, from the Laird to here to even Circuit and that.
It's... But do you feel like people in Melbourne still don't appreciate what they've got?
No, Melbourne's way much more appreciative of it and celebrate it. What they've got and try and do better.
I think there is a level of appreciation, but I think also particularly Melbourne has a lot of abundance. They're able to split off into their own subcultures, whereas sort of Sydney feels a little bit more locked together.
Down in Sydney there is both a premium price to always pay at pubs, but also a premium with who you can talk to. It's extremely clicky up there. Down here, it's way much more approachable.
Being a city, we're very much a country town, so you can go into any bar and talk to anyone. It may not necessarily be a gay bar, but it's still got that sense of small town community.
Yeah.
Also, you can easily have twinks talking to bears, talking to drag queens, talking to... There is some guy who's just really into karaoke, and he usually goes to the one down the road, but he's come down here.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
That was Nick and Cam from Newcastle. Regional support for members of our communities isn't as bleak as we're often led to believe, with groups coming together, thriving and providing a space for support and socialising that has its own flavour and isn't about emulating the dance clubs of the big cities. On the weekend, I headed to the Carnival Day of Out in the Open in Greater Shepparton. That's Greater Shepparton's festival celebrating pride and community diversity. And I met Stephen Ferns from Wangaratta. Stephen's created an LGBTIQ social group for Wangaratta locals, giving them a way to connect and engage with other like-minded individuals and create new social pathways.
So what was the inspiration originally to start a social group in Wangaratta?
I guess it was that I grew up in Wangaratta, and then I moved to Melbourne for 6 years, then Brisbane for 5 years, and really saw a great culture of support and community in the different capital cities, and thought, I wanted to move back home to Wangaratta to be close to my family, because I really think they're great, and we all get along great, and I really miss them. I wanted to bring a bit of that same sense of support and community to the smaller town that I was from. I'm sure there are a lot of people that are closeted or who don't really know they've got support, or even young kids who just don't know there's something positive for normal looking, when I say normal looking, I mean for people who are just everyday people. You know, it's not like, oh, because you know how people go, oh, if you're like gay, you must be like Mardi Gras, da, da, da. It's like, no, it's just normal people like you and me, like, and I want people to see that, look at me. I look normal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I talk weird, but...
So when you first started, what was the idea? It was a bit more of a, like, was it a walking group or...?
Yeah, I wanted to make, like, a fitness sort of group because I thought mixing that social and fitness aspect would be good in terms of, like, mental health. You know, let's do some things together and you can bond over something, not just talking. And I wasn't really getting a lot of traction, so I thought I'll change it just back to the whole... I had a few people say, oh, I'd love to come, but I can't really do any exercise because of physical impairments and such. So I thought, well, yeah, I'll just make it a social thing and we can have some athletic-y type things if we want. But, that was my reasoning.
So now it's getting any LGBTIQ identified being people or allies to come together?
Yep, absolutely. It's called Wangaratta Rainbow Friends and Allies as the name of the group. So you don't have to be on that rainbow spectrum, you know, you could be straight or identify as nothing, it doesn't really matter. Just so it's a community that's supportive of people who are LGBTIQA, who want to express that together and not be afraid that they're going to be made fun of or picked on.
Do you think that's one of the very big differences between, say, being in the country and being, you know, when you go to the city and want to try to bring the elements of socialness into different spaces and regional spaces? Do you think that's one of the hard aspects of it?
Definitely. And I think it's a population thing. It's numbers, safety in numbers. If there's a whole bunch of you somewhere, you can form things like groups and clubs, like the Laird or the Peel or different places, the Glass House, I think it's called. You know, there are places you can go where you know people who are like you are going to go there. But in the country, there's not as many people or as many people who would go out necessarily and catch up necessarily, so there's not as much chance it's going to happen and you're going to see each other.
Don't you think that makes it even more special with the, like, we're here at Out of the Open today and there's lots of regional spaces that exist for LGBTIQ people, and that's through individuals' hard work in getting them started and keeping them going and making them happen. But don't you think that makes our queer regional spaces even more special because of how they come together and how they stand up and strive?
Definitely, absolutely. It's like Damien Stevens and his committee have put on an amazing job with this, and you guys supporting him. It just goes to show that the people in the country have got as much heart and soul as anybody else does. And like you say, I mean, we all want the same things that city folk want. We're just a little bit disconnected. And if we can make any of those connections at all a little bit stronger, I'm for it. I'm sure most people are for it. And days like this just prove, you know, there'd be people walking by on the street who wanted to come in but just couldn't this year. But they've seen that there are people who are having fun. Next year they might come along. You've got to keep these things going or else those people will never have that extra opportunity. They'll just move to the city and go, oh, I can only go there. if we can make more spaces like this in the country, they won't need to move. But it's okay if you do, that's cool too. You know, I'm not knocking it. I did that, it's cool.
But do you think it's also good having people from the city come to these regional spaces and support the communities here?
Absolutely. It's all about being connected. I mean, they have experience. People in the city have experiences we don't have, and vice versa. It could be as simple as someone from the city who's really at home with their own sexuality, who meets someone here who isn't as much at home with their sexuality, and they have a really nice chat for 2 minutes, and that person who's not as at home in themselves goes, wow, what an experience, someone who's so self-actualized. That can make the most amazing difference. You'd have no idea.
And how can we, anyone who's interested in Wangaratta or finding out more information about your event, how can they find that out?
So we have got a Facebook page called Wangaratta Rainbow Friends and Allies. And there's also a meetup group. Meetup is a really great website for organising events and that sort of thing. I did try to do kind of the same time each month, the same day, but it's been hard to sort of set one exact... Like, I can't say it's every Thursday at this time or place. At the moment, I'd say just go to the Facebook group or the meetup group, whichever one you prefer. And feel free to find me on Facebook. My name's Stephen Ferns. That's Stephen with a PH, Ferns, F-I-R-N-S. You know, send me a message and say, I'm interested in coming, but I don't feel certain about it. Can I just meet up with you first? Or, you know, I'm open to that, open to whatever I can do to help you feel more safe, more comfortable coming along.
Shepparton's Out in the Open Festival Carnival Day saw members of our communities from all over regional Victoria come together and just enjoy being together in the gardens. Hayden Collins, who formed the Swan Hill LGBTI social group, brought along some Swan Hill locals to be a part of the fun and to relax in a different way with other members of their community.
We're just the Swan Hill LGBTI social group. There's no real name, I suppose. We're just a collective of people, more or less.
So how did that come about?
I met Damien probably 3 years ago now at a sexual health conference and just got having a bit of a chat and sort of went back to my workplace and my community, so Swan Hill, and realised that we didn't really, you know, have any supports for our LGBTI population, and just sort of became a bit of a personal project within my role in our health promotion department at the hospital to, you know, make sure that we had some sort of support and system where LGBTI young people in particular could, you know, access it and have a little bit of a safe space to meet and congregate and, you know.
So what do you guys do? You create events or...?
No, we just sort of provide a safe social space with food and, like, today we've brought out 3 of them across to Shepparton, so we're in a little minibus and just sort of keep it nice and youth-led and low-key without specifically organising anything.
Do you think that's one of the joys about creating things in regional spaces, that, you know, you can just create something that people can come to and find a way to be themselves within?
Yeah, I think so. I suppose the joy to be able to do something in a regional space is that it looks different in every region, because every region's got its own sort of nuances and things that need to be sort of taken into account. So for us, a little bit of an issue for our young people is travel by distance. So, you know, we've got a young girl who travels an hour to come to the occasional bits and pieces, and that's just part and parcel of where we are. So by keeping it sort of on a needs basis and sort of flexible enough for that sort of thing, it's sort of allowing young people to connect.
And where can, if young people are interested in finding out more details, where can they find that out from?
Yep, so they can just either jump on Facebook or give me a call, and I'm quite happy to provide my mobile number if that works.
Cool.
So just give Hayden a call on 0429 429 693.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.